are listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? We are back on the Forza Up Podcast. It's a new Canes season, which means Forza Up is back. And when I say back, I mean back. It is game week. We have 4 days until the Canes, first off, against some team called Alabama. They have some coach. I don't know who. I haven't heard much about them, but they're a little program up in Tuscaloosa, and we are ready to throw the hell down with the Crimson Tide. Jordan!
What's up?
Can you feel it?
I can feel it. I can feel it like Phil Collins can feel it.
Yeah.
That's right, dude.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it's here. It seems like the Oklahoma State game was 10 years ago.
Yep.
But fall camp is wrapped up. The depth chart is out. We have so much to talk about. Yep. First of all, how are you? Are you excited? How's the family? How are you feeling? What's up?
I'm doing good, man. Finishing up a move. I'm sitting in an empty apartment recording this. And, you know, my lease expires tomorrow. Okay. So that's good. You know, but I'm very pumped for the game, dude. I just football season could not have come quick enough. It's like, you know, I got really into basketball. NBA this year, and then like the last 2 months of just like I don't even know what happened.
You yeah. know,
like my life just kind of, I don't know, it's weird.
The summer kind of just flew by. Fall camp kind of came and went. I mean, all good things are coming out of Green Tree. A lot of young players stepping up. De'Aaron King looks good. I just don't even know where to start. I mean, it's kind of, it's different from like last year, right? Like last year we were going up against UAB, in the first game, and we were kind of expecting a blowout win, kind of a tune up for the rest of the year. But right now, you know, we're going up against the defending national champions. We're going up against Coach Nick Saban and although, you know, this is a young Bama team, you know, Bryce Young making his first start. A lot of true freshmen that are going to be playing on that sideline. It's still Alabama, right?
Yep.
So I want to talk about expectations for this game, you know, throughout the episode. But and to kick us off, let's get our guest on. What do you say we dial him up?
Yeah, no problem. I'll get him on right now.
Okay, we are joined by our good friend. Friend of the show. We haven't talked to him in a long time. John Michaels, host of 680 The Fan in Atlanta. John, can you feel it? Are you excited? How are we?
Oh, my goodness. Every single morning, I am driving everybody crazy that I work with. I'm on 680 The Fan. Love where I work. They decided about 2 months ago we were going to go to a five-person morning show, which if you've ever worked in radio, normally it's two or three. Five is usually too many in a room, but we love it. Great energy. I work with a couple of former quarterbacks, former wide receiver, but I'm driving them crazy because every morning I walk in and I tell them Miami is going to win this game. And you can imagine living in Atlanta, Alabama's 140 miles down the road to Tuscaloosa. I have been met with, you're delusional. You sound like a fanboy. You don't know what you're talking about. You won't bet money on that. I cannot be more ready to kick Alabama's ass than I am right about now.
Okay, so I know you're a confident Canes fan, you know, but I mean, you're a smart Canes fan. You know this team. You've watched this team for a long time. Obviously, you know, there's obvious reasons going in, like first-time starting quarterback for Bama. What are the reasons that make you so confident heading into Saturday?
That's number one. I mean, Miami, this is the most experienced team we've probably had in 17 years. Probably since the 03 team, we have not had a team that's had this type of depth and this type of experience across the board. We have a six-year returning quarterback. I mean, when's the last time we went into a season knowing that we have a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender at quarterback? I'll tell you, it was Ken Dorsey in 2002 when him or McGahee probably should have won the trophy. We go into it with an offensive line. A year ago, you had guards that were about 305 pounds. You're not going to have a couple of 330 or 340-pound big old guards in Navon Donaldson and Jalen Rivers who can handle the middle. Alabama is also at the weakest and most vulnerable point they've been at probably in 10 years. And again, it's not knocking the talent of Alabama. Obviously, Bryce Young, superstar recruit. Brian Robinson, great running back. Evan Neal's probably the best left tackle in college football. And I'd argue that them and Clemson have the best defense coming into the year. But you've got a new offensive coordinator. You've got a new offensive staff. You have a new quarterback. You're missing guys on the offensive line. They've got youth. All of those star receivers, whether it's Ruggs or Judy or Devontae Smith or, you know, Jalen Waddle, they're going to the NFL. Eventually, that comes back to bite you. Now, bite you might mean one loss instead of zero during the regular season, but I think Miami catches Alabama at the absolute perfect time at the beginning of the year with all the experience we have, the inexperience they have. Rhett Lashley has coached against Nick Saban a couple of times and put up a 35 and a 45 burger against him. I think this sets up for Miami to reintroduce himself. What Jay-Z said a few years ago, allow me to reintroduce myself. Allow Miami to reintroduce themselves. We are the motherfucking you, and that's who we are.
I love it. So, John, I am very mad at you because I have been able to temper and curtail my expectations and my emotion for this game all off season. Because you got to remember, like I'm in a different generation of fan than you are, and I say that with respect. You know, like my primetime national TV Miami Hurricanes experiences are generally pretty terrible, right?
Right.
Whether it's, you know, the Peach Bowl versus LSU, you know, it seems every time we play in Blacksburg, it's on a Saturday night and it ends in tears for me. You know, like it's by and large gone pretty poorly. But darn you. Like I'm excited now and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not happy about it. I know
you should be happy about it. Cause you know what, what I've got grown tired of, and it's not just you guys. And yes, it is a generational thing. I was lucky enough, the '80s, the '90s, the 2000s, that was my 10s, 20s, and early 30s when my Canes were great. And every Saturday was an event to go watch the best. We were the Alabama of the '80s and nineties and early 2000s. Yep. That's been lost. What I have grown tired of during the offseason is the we have no chance conversation. Mm-hmm. I go back to the guys I work with, and you know, it's not that they don't know college football, because they all know college football. Joe Hamilton works with me. He's a runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. He's one of the great guys that's ever played the game. It took me about 2 weeks to really break down the game for him to go, hey, you're not wrong. Miami actually has a chance.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban yesterday, he had a press conference here in Atlanta for the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. He even broke down the Miami roster. And Joe looks at me and goes, you've been saying that all along. I said, I'm not just saying it as a fan. I'm saying it as somebody who watches 13 to 14 hours of college football every Saturday. Miami has a realistic shot. But what happens on social media? It's pretty simple. The narrative has come out, and it's been a narrative that should be there, that Miami is irrelevant, that Miami's not good, that Miami's soft, that Manny Diaz can't coach, and people have run with it. And instead of actually doing the research, like if the two teams were flipped and Miami was coming back with 55% of the returning offense and Alabama had 95%, it would be right that Alabama should kick their ass.
Yeah.
But when it's the flip side, nobody wants to give Miami any chance. And we've also got to a day and age where people forget what makes college football great on Saturday is the 14th team has the ability to beat the number one team, because these are still 18 to 22 year old kids with 18 to 22 year old problems. And that's why, you know what? I'll believe we get our ass kicked Saturday. I'll have my tail tucked between my legs and I'll say I was wrong. But I truly think Miami has a very good chance to win this game.
Well, I think you bring up a lot of good points. I think from a talent standpoint, like, you know, I've been mentioning this for other reasons, but it goes along with this Alabama game is, you know, this will probably be the most experienced roster that Manny Diaz ever coaches. Because you have a guy in his seventh year, isn't Jared Williams in his seventh year?
Yep.
You have Derek King in his sixth year, like that's an aberration, right? Like that is extenuating circumstances. It'll never happen again. And you see that across the roster, you know, like if you go years and games wise, like this, we won't ever see a roster like this again, experience wise. You know, and there is a lot of talent, you know, like we have an incredibly talented offense top to bottom. And, you know, some standout superstars on defense. I think, and I don't want this to sound like I'm going against what you're saying, because I do not dispute any of the points you made. I think, you know, coming from the point of view of our generation, is that like it more than a talent thing, it seems like it's been a mental or emotional thing.
For sure.
Miami has just dropped the ball in the biggest moments, and it's not physical, it's mental. You know, it's like watching Clemson last year. The Clemson game is we lost, and this is just my opinion, like the second that Quincy Roche made that penalty on the first drive, like we lost that game, and I knew it, you know? And granted, things change, right? Clemsoning is now winning national championships. It is no longer, you know, pooping your pants on TV, right? So things can change, and I'm open to that. I would love to see that be the thing that changes this year. Manny's been very good at incremental, you know, incremental progress, right? If that's the thing that changes this year, I will be all on board for Manny, like, you know, indefinitely.
Everything you said is spot on, and it is about learning to win. I working in the NFL forever, you can see a mindset where a team can learn to win midseason. A team can learn to win in week two. Sometimes you can learn to win in the offseason, and that's why the league is so fantastic. College football, again, think about it. You guys are younger. You're in your early 20s. Think about the psyche when you're 18, 19, 20 years old. The smallest things could change and manifest themselves into the biggest things. I was at the Clemson game. I was sitting midfield right behind our bench, right down the line where Quincy Roche lined up offsides. And you saw a head hang factor. I watched D. Wiggins and Mark Pope and a lot of the guys on the offensive side not being able to come up with balls head down. I'm screaming at them as a 45, now 46-year-old fan, pick your head up. You know, it's 7-0. The game's far from over. Mm-hmm. I never can understand that mentality of laying down as soon as you get punched in the face. And unfortunately for Miami, there has been a very big fake tough guy bravado about the program for the last 15, 16 years. It's easy to look back and go, yeah, you know, Dorsey and Johnson, they were super talented. They were also mentally tough. Like, people forget, those teams in 2001, 02, they went through hell growing up through that probation period. They went through hell where they had 55, 60 scholarship kids on the sideline, and Florida State's beating them all over the field. You think Ed Reed was born that tough? No, he grew into that. Dan Morgan, he was an undersized freshman who had, by the time he was a senior, he was the baddest man in college football. You know, Ray Lewis, same thing. He was a safety that comes in. Those guys grew to be mentally tough.
Yep.
Our kids, unfortunately, and I get so mad, and it's the dad in me comes out sometimes, and I yell at my own kids the same thing. Your whole life doesn't have to go to social media. I'm a victim to it because of the business I work in. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to drop a touchdown and then immediately post your stats afterwards and say, fake fans, don't come back later. But I've been a fan since you were swimming in your dad's balls. You know, I've been a fan since your grandpa was playing for the University of Miami. I'm never leaving. I'll be 70 years old still screaming for the program, but we have kids that don't know how to handle adversity. Yep. That you have to learn, and that's where I hope the age comes in. That's where I hope a De'Arik King being a six-year senior is there. Like, I saw it's not even a stat, just a fact that blew my mind. You know, De'Arik King's older than Tua Tagovailoa. He's a year older than
that.
He's 24. Tua's 23. Tua's about to be in his second year in the NFL.
Yeah.
That experience eventually matters, especially when the kids are good. Like, if you're a bad football player, you can be there 10 years, you're still going to be a bad football player. De'Arik King is a 24-year-old who's thrown for, you know, 8,000 yards and 80 touchdowns. Bryce Young's thrown 22 passes in his college career. Yeah. I think that makes the difference on Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about that. Okay, so in the last few years, you know, with quarterbacks like Tua and Mac Jones, Alabama was able to – I mean, for the first 10 years that Coach Saban was there – they were a grounded-out team. You know, they had Derrick Henry. They had Mark Ingram, you know, Eddie Lacy, all these guys. In the last few years that they were, you know, they had the wide receivers and everything. Now with the new quarterback and only really John Mechie, the only proven wide receiver returning, do you think that they are going to go, you know, back to their original roots and try to establish the running game early? And how do you feel about, you know, Miami's run defense?
Scares the crap out of me. I know Manny took over and, you know, we brought in new players and we got guys that are bulked up and new linebackers and all. I pop on the tape of North Carolina, and we were completely lost. And it was a physically, you got your ass kicked. You got punched in the mouth early, and the team did not respond, and that's a problem. I think, and I was talking with Mark Hockman and Channing Crowder on QAM earlier today, and I said the same thing, and Channing had brought it up. He goes, do you not have fear that Nick Saban is just going to line up and run the football right at you? And I said, absolutely, because Nick Saban, to his roots, wants to run the ball. It was Lane Kiffin really got him out of his shell and said, hey, we could do this RPO thing. But they're still at their roots. Najee Harris ran the football. You know, different guys, whether it was Josh Jacobs, they ran the ball. He's not going to lean on a redshirt freshman that's throwing bad passes. And I've never seen Bryce Young throw the ball. I don't know how accurate he is or whatnot. I know he's a smaller kid who's got great feet. He's going to lean on Brian Robinson and a talented group of backs and run it. It scares the crap out of me that our defensive linemen are going to get mushed and our linebackers who are a little bit light in the ass are going to be shoved around. And you're going to look up at Alabama's got 300 yards rushing. Cause if that happens, Miami's in for a long, long afternoon.
Well, I agree with everything you said. And I think we should all be terrified of that. And you know, like in, I think any smart coach would have that game plan, right? Like, you know, and anyone that wants to can check the tape from our, when we reacted to the, what was the first game last year? I can't remember. It was the
UAB.
UAB. Yeah. You know, like that was, we won and we had a good game, but that was kind of my thing was I was like, look, I did not like when they ran the ball up the middle, like they did whatever they wanted, you know, like that, that's a worry. It progressed through the year and we're bringing back the same personnel. So, you know, I, with you, I understand that Manny's running the defense, but like, it, this has been a problem with these same players, right? And it's not going away. It's only going to look worse against Bama. So I'm hoping that you know, the guys in the middle, the defensive tackles, the linebackers can really step up, have the game of their lives, and you know, hold their own, right? But they're really going to get tested. I think any smart coach would pinpoint those guys and just be like, that's where we can win. I mean, especially because Bama has the biggest, most athletic, talented offensive linemen and, you know, athletes for days. So, like, they're really going to test us there. And I think you've totally identified, you know, what's going to swing the balance of this game is our run defense.
And sometimes that's a want-to factor. Like, you're a linebacker. You have to understand when you're going against Alabama, I have to want to take on a tackle. I have to want to take on a pulling guard. I have to want to take on a fullback or a tight end, which quite frankly, you don't see a lot of in today's day and age in college football. And what you see with teams like Alabama that they're so good at, and obviously they have so many great athletes, but they formation you into getting you into the personnel they want. Okay, we'll go three wide with a single tight and a single back, and we'll go RPO, but we're just going to run the, basically the RPO to them is we're going to run power football out of a non-power set. Well, if Miami gets stuck with – and let's be honest, Keontra Smith, smaller, could be super athletic and great. Corey Flagg's not the biggest kid in the middle. If Amari Carter's on the field or Gilbert Frierson at striker, you basically have a defensive back playing linebacker. They can big boy football. And this is where these guys – and I saw it last year, and it was Jennings, and it was everybody else who was really struggling at backer against North Carolina. They didn't want to take on the blocks. You have to have that want to as a linebacker that there are going to be times I've got to run up and smash my head into somebody to allow one of my teammates to make a tackle.
And play football.
We haven't done enough smashing our heads into somebody. I think the last time we did that with authority was against Notre Dame in 2017. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
That was a very long time ago. Okay, so I just have like one or two more questions. Looking at our offense, you know, Rhett Lashley, second year as offensive coordinator, De'Aaron King. We have some receivers. We got Will Mallory. Do you think that we're going to come out and try to run the football against Alabama, or are we going to throw more? Because in my opinion, I want us to throw the hell out of the football. I want De'Aaron King to be throwing 35 times a game. I think with Keyshawn Smith, Rambo, Harley, and Mallory, that's a pretty good four set of you know, pass catching targets to choose from. And I also think that last year we tried a little too much, and at some points it seemed like we were trying to establish the run for too long at certain points in games. What are your thoughts on that?
against Bama, you're not going to just run it. It's basically running into a brick wall over and over and over again. It's not going to happen. You have to run just enough to keep them honest. But I don't want to see first down inside zone, second down inside zone, third and eight. Not going to win the game that way. First down passing, to your point, is going to be huge. And this is where I try to tell people that Miami's so much more talented than they were a year ago. Think about it. Mark Pope and D. Wiggins, they're not on the depth chart. Those guys are third and fourth receiver. That was your second and third leading receiver a year ago, and they're not on the depth chart now. They have been passed by a lot of people. Now, I do think Pope's going to play some in the slot. I don't know that Wiggins will get on the field a lot. Alabama's got good defensive backs, but I watched Ole Miss last year put up 40-plus points against them. I watched Georgia in the first half with a walk-on quarterback and pretty mediocre receivers go up and down the field against that defense. What you have to do against Alabama is use their athletes sometimes against them. They think they can just line up and do whatever the hell they want to you defensively, and they've done it to people for 15 years. But there are times. Think about the games that they've lost over the years. Who have they lost to? Special quarterbacks with open offenses. LSU beats them a couple of years ago pretty handily with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Not saying our guys are that. A few years before that, Johnny Manziel, you know, basically throwing jump balls to Mike Evans and running around like a crazy person in the backfield. Nick Marshall at Auburn was able to beat him. What kind of system is that? It was Rhett Lashley's system. You got to keep them off balance, sometimes go turbo speed, sometimes do the Auburn. And Auburn used to be great at this. They'd rush to the line, get you to say what you're going to do defensively. You're going to declare this is what we are. And then you back up and you do the check with me. As you look at the coach, you find out a different play, and you go with what you want. You have to throw them some curveballs, but you're going to have to throw the football to win this game. You're not running it for 220. You know, D'Eriq can't carry the ball 20 times against Alabama, or we might not have him against Appalachian State. So, yeah, Keyshawn Smith, Xavier Restrepo, Mike Harley, you know, all of these, Charleston Rambo, you came to Miami to make big plays. Your chance on Saturday, you're going to have some opportunities to be put up to bat and make big plays. And when the ball's in the air, go catch the damn thing. Yep. Go catch it. How many drops did we have last year? 600? Catch the damn ball. You got one job.
Yep, and I just want to add to your point, you know, when it comes to our offensive line is, you know, I know we were much improved from the Dan Enos year, but we were still below average statistically. I'm expecting us to be a little bit better, but probably right around that average for Division One. So I agree. I don't necessarily want to put this game in the balance of the offensive line. You know, I don't want our run blocking to dictate our success. So I fully agree with you, you know, spreading it out, using some tempo and letting D'Eriq King and other athletes dictate the game rather than our run block. So I have a question for you real quick. You mentioned the depth chart. You know, that was released, a few days ago. Did you have any surprises, interesting comments from, you know, just from assessing the depth chart, or can you give us your assessment on that?
You know, my number one is the fact that Pope and Wiggins are not there. I know they were the scapegoats a year ago. I like Mark Pope. I think he's a slot guy that got stuck outside. He doesn't have the greatest hands, but he did come up with some big plays a year ago. I thought he'd be at minimum backup to Mike Harley in the slot. And I do think he's going to get some burn. I think Wiggins' time, he might be, you know, I have no insight, but he might be a guy that after this year, or sometime this year, is no longer on the football team. I could see him looking around going, I've been passed by three or four guys younger than me. Maybe he puts his name in the portal. And again, has all the talent in the world, just can't catch the doggone football. I was a little surprised that the two linebackers who won the job. I would have liked to see Huff get a little bit more opportunity, but they keep saying he can't pick up the playbook for whatever reason. McLeod, I believe, listed as a starter at defensive end, shocked me a little bit. Not a huge fan of that. But again, Manny knows better than I do. Maybe Zach McLeod becomes a terror off the edge using the speed that wasn't fast enough to play linebacker. And I was a little surprised Al Blades wasn't really where he should be. I know he's coming off an injury. They flirted with him at safety a little bit. I thought he'd at minimum be the number two corner, and maybe he ends up being that before it's all said and done. But nothing overly shocking. When you bring back 19 to 22, you kind of know who the guys are going to be. Manny preached competition. He let some of the younger guys come in and win. And I can't wait for Saturday just to see these guys come in, you know, getting an opportunity. You know, we think about last year, and I know this is kind of off topic, but think about how funky last year was with COVID. To go 8-3 I was watching a replay of the Duke game today. Don't ask me why. I just was. I forgot Miami had 3 weeks off of playing games because of COVID. You know how hard it is? You go from 3 weeks off, you play Duke, who you weren't even supposed to play, and then you turned around and played North Carolina. So to go 8-3 in last year's scenario turned out pretty good. I think this year the sky's the limit for the University of Miami.
Okay, this leads me to our last question for you, John. And I know you know this is coming, but I need a score prediction for Saturday and a prediction for the season. What's your record prediction?
They're going to win 27-23 on Saturday. I said this on 560 today. I'm not sure. Miami's winning this football game. I have the same feeling I have the week leading into Notre Dame in 17. And doing local radio here in Atlanta, I'm always the punching bag for Miami. You know, everybody in the South loves to hate on the Canes, and you call us irrelevant, but they damn sure talk about us anytime. And maybe it's just because I'm on the radio. I walked into that week with so much confidence that Miami was going to win the game. I promise. I won hundreds of dollars and bottles of liquor from a bunch of listeners to the radio station who kept telling me we're not big enough, strong enough for anything to beat Notre Dame. We kicked their ass. I have that same. Now, I don't think we're going to beat Alabama 41-8. I have a feeling, I just have that feeling Miami is going to win this football game. I've had it for a couple of months now. I've had dreams that we're going to win it. I hope they come to fruition. Here's the bad thing, though. I think Miami goes 11-1. Great. Beat Alabama. I think they beat North Carolina. And then they're going to lose a game they have absolutely no business losing. They'll get to the ACC championship game, lose to Clemson. They'll finish 11-2, probably end up in the Orange Bowl or wherever the bowl goes, gets to choose the ACC. And I think they finally get off the schneid and win a bowl game. I say 12-2, finish the year in the top 10, have a win against Alabama, lose to Clemson, lose to somebody. I don't know who it's going to be, Virginia Tech, Virginia. It'll be one team we have no business losing to. And if I point to somebody, it's probably North Carolina State, because they can go blow for blow with us on the offensive side. But that's what I'm going for. 12-2 total. Win the Coastal Division, lose to Clemson in the ACC title game, win a bowl game finally.
Cool.
All right. I love it.
I'd be very happy with that season.
I don't think there's a Miami fan that wouldn't be. If we beat Alabama, all bets are off.
Yeah.
You want to see cocky Canes fans come back out? Let us win on Saturday afternoon. I already told people I'll be running ass naked down Peachtree Street with three turnover chains on and nothing else.
I love it. Okay, John, you are our hype man forever. I'm going to see you in Tallahassee for the FSU game. I assume you're going.
You better believe that's my 47th birthday is on November 13th in Tallahassee. You damn right I'm going to be there.
I already got my ticket for that one, but hopefully we have you back on the show at some point this season. Cheer your ass off on Saturday. I know your voice will be gone before kickoff. And thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah,
anytime,
thank you, man.
Guys. And yeah, you know, you got my number. Anytime you want to talk Canes ball, I'm here for you.
Cool. Take care, man.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
All right. Yep. Dude, John is so great.
he really is.
He's such a professional, man. He brings our quality up big time when he's on.
He's so good. He's great. I think this game will be close. I think Miami has a chance to make this game close throughout all four quarters, honestly. I'll give my prediction at the end of the game, but I think that Alabama is, just like we were talking about, I think that they are going to try and run the ball down our throats with Robinson and behind, you know, Evan Neal, things like that. And I think our defensive line, and you know, Jafari Harvey, I think this is going to be his first start or second start. I think he started the bowl game, but he's going to be big. I want to see how McLeod does and our defensive tackles. They have been a question mark for me all, you know, off season. Okay, well, let's talk about this. You asked John this question, and I was going to ask you this question. Depth chart comes out. What are your instant reaction? You know, any surprises, anything like that?
So I'm big on stuff like depth chart, right? Because the first depth chart of the year, it tells us how camp progressed. It tells us how development is going. It kind of lets us feel out what's going on behind the scenes with important pieces and important position groups, right? The first thing that jumped off to me was the wide receiver group, which, you know, John already went into depth on that, and I was very happy. I actually would have been incredibly sick to my stomach if it was – if Pope or Wiggins were higher in the mix, you know. The fact that we got Keyshawn Smith and Charleston Rambo as our two and three, you know, that's awesome to me. That's a very good sign of where the wide receiver room is progressing. Other notes, linebacker was good. I probably would have, I don't know, just like lit myself on fire if Bradley Jennings or Wayne Steed were the starting linebacker. Because to me, that's just, that's saying straight up like, hey, this position is going to be terrible all year. You know, so I'm a big fan of Corey Flagg. I'm open-minded about Keontre Smith switching positions. You know, so I'm open-minded to the linebacker room being better than last year. The thing that was weird to me was Amari Carter starting over Gil Frierson, but I'm trying not to read too much into that.
Yeah, let's I mean, that was my biggest takeaway is Amari Carter starting over our boy Gilbert Frierson, because I mean, you and I have talked about it at length. I feel Gilbert Frierson was the most consistent player on this defense last year besides me. I mean, him and Jalen Phillips, because Bubba was good for the first 4 weeks and then kind of slipped off somewhat. You have to think that Amari starting is, you know, all about run defense. I'm very happy that Amari is playing striker. I think he should have always been there. I think he is what Miami's defense needs at that, you know, position, striker, linebacker. You know, we just need speed. But I didn't think he'd be starting. That was surprising. Also really good to see. I think a lot of Canes fans were expecting to see either Pope or Wiggins starting. And the fact that I got my wish with Keyshawn Smith, Mike Harley, and Rambo starting, I'm very, very, very excited about that. And also the two deep at wide receiver. You got Redding backing up Rambo, I believe, and then Restrepo behind Harley at the slot, or behind Keyshawn Smith at the slot. Or no, he's behind Restrepo at the slot. And so that's good. James Williams and Cam Kinchins backing up Gervin Hall and Bubba Bolden. I like to see that. I think our linebacker play is going to be – I think a lot of people are expecting – you know, Canes fans, we don't overact or anything. But I think they're expecting guys like a Corey Flagg or Keyontre Smith to go out there and just dominate from the start. That's not going to happen. I'm very excited about this this duo linebacker. This is what I wanted. I've been a big Keyontre Smith fan. But there's obviously going to be some up and downs. There's going to be some learning curves, you know. Keyontre Smith has never started a game. Corey Flagg, I think, maybe started the bowl game, but I don't think so. And people are – if Alabama is able to run the ball and our linebackers look a little lost, they're going to be calling for – you know, they're going to be saying that Flagg sucks, Keyontre sucks.
Yeah.
And I think fans are going to need to temper their – they're just going to have to take a chill pill. That still is no excuse for the team coming out and looking slow as a whole.
Agreed. You know, John really got me pumped up. He's so great at that. He got me pumped up and kind of believing in our mental and emotional fortitude. You know, I've kind of posted my score prediction on Twitter. I'm going to hold on to that. And, you know, when we do that at the end, but I'm sticking with what I've predicted previously. But I've just been under the assumption that the moment's going to be too big for us, right? That's a chronic Hurricanes problem, is that we let the moment get to us. We get intimidated. You know, we clearly feel like we don't belong when we're on the big stage. I think Clemson and UNC, like, pretty irrefutable evidence of that being the case, yeah, right?
They prove that.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm hoping that that's not an issue. I agree with John that, you know, if there was ever a time that I was ready to pit our talent versus Alabama's, week one of this year might be, you know, the best time to do it over the last decade. You know, so that makes me a little optimistic. I'm just not sure about our emotional fortitude. I will say, though, I can tell you right now this is going to be a theme of mine on the Fours Up podcast for this whole season is I don't believe in our defense. Like, get ready for it. You know, our defense is going to struggle all year. I know Manny's calling plays. I hope I'm wrong. It's just like we're really going to need to outscore people. The only way to beat Alabama is if we score in the 40s, in my opinion. Because I just look, our defensive tackles and our linebackers are going to get abused by teams like Alabama. They're bigger. They're more physical. You know, they know how to win. From my eyes, it looks like they're hungrier, you know, than our defense.
Yeah.
And so that is going to put a ton of pressure on our pass defense, you know, on our, like, I don't know, man.
I definitely hear what you're saying. That's why I say that I think that our defense will struggle at times early. I think that we will be a solid defensive team in the second part of the year. But, I mean, new DBs coach, new cornerbacks coach, Jess Simpson coming back as defensive line coach, new starting linebackers. I think it'll take some time to for the defense to really settle in.
Yeah.
But I am very excited about Simpson being back as defensive line coach. Yeah. I love T. Rob as defensive backs coach. I think that our defensive backs play is really, really going to improve. I think DJ Ivy is going to have a really solid season. I think Tecori Couch is maybe top three, one of the best players on this defense. And he's going to be, you know, another year with more experience. And so, but the thing is, football is an offensive game now. Kev from Storm Surge said this perfectly on Twitter that you're not going to be seeing, you know, games where Alabama was perfect at this when Coach Saban, you know, in his first 5 to 10 years, where they could score 20 points and win the game.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen in football anymore. So yeah. if Miami wants to make it to Charlotte and win 10 games, which is the expectation, they're going to have to average 35 points a game on offense, in my opinion. Yeah. And they do have the personnel to make that happen.
I think we do. I have us slated to be a top 25 offense this year. I think that is very attainable. I think we're going to be humming, man. I just think and let me clarify a little my comments about our defense is I still think we can have some dominant defensive performances. I don't think our defense will be bad. I think we'll be a middle of the pack defense that looks really good against bad teams. And, you know, because we have a lot of talent, right? We have very talented individual players on defense. And I think that will shine through when we play some of the lesser teams on the schedule. I think we could look dominant on defense. But I think when we play the highly talented, accomplished good teams like Alabama and UNC, you know, and whoever we play in the bowl game, I think that's where you're going to see some of the deficiencies show up a little bit. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we're a good defense, but this position group really isn't a high level right now, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think we'll be bad. I think we'll be middle of the pack. And I think because we have high aspirations this year, that will be a thorn in our side.
Yeah, I agree with you. If the defense can just slow down offenses throughout the season, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I think that this team will be able to accomplish everything that it can. But you can have debacles like you did against UNC. You can't let a team like Oklahoma State score 21 points in the first quarter. You can't. And the thing is that the defense played pretty good against Clemson. If you go back and watch that game, it's the inability for us to move the football that lost us that game.
Agreed. The defense gave us chances. And, you know, I was highly critical of our defense all year. But in that Clemson game, the defense gave us multiple chances. Even, I believe we were down 21-7 at one point. Is that correct?
We were down 21-10 at halftime, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, when we were at that point, because I believe we came out of the locker room and the defense got a stop and gave the ball back to us, right? Our defense gave us chances, man. like if we could have moved the ball on offense against those good teams, you know, maybe that's something that we need to talk about more is the fact that, you know, Rhett Lashley and his unit really struggled against more talented teams. And you know, of course, second year for an offensive coordinator is huge, right? Uh-huh. A full mini camp because we didn't get that last year because of COVID is huge. Those things could be very good encompassing reasons that those happened. But yeah, I get you, man. Like I'm hoping that our defense can continue to give us chances in these big games. Most important for me is I want to see the coaching staff has the Canes ready to play good teams. Like that's yes. The final step. Last year was a solid year, but dude, the problem was that we had the fortitude of a little league team when we got on the field against another, you know, big program that was exciting, right? Like we just crapped down both legs. That's not acceptable for the University of Miami. We can lose games. We can't get embarrassed. I draw the line there.
Well, and I think John brings up a great point that I've always been big on is that say Alabama goes up 10-0 in the first quarter. You can't hang your head. Like you can't, you know, put your head down and say, oh, this one's over. Like what, why did I get, like, why were we so excited? Like all offseason? You can't be thinking that on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like the mental attitude of this team, I think, is changing for the better. You know, thanks to guys like De'Aaron King and, you know, Mike Harley, Bubba Bold, and things like that. But you cannot beat yourselves up if you are down early.
Yeah.
You can't do that because that's been the difference. Like that's been one of the biggest things about this team.
Yeah.
Like they lose games early.
Yeah, man. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm snake bitten as a fan right now. Like last year was an emotional roller coaster, man. Like the Canes are like a, you know, like a really messy ex-girlfriend. You know, it's like I know better than to be excited for this Alabama game, but kind of can't help myself.
I'm excited. Just because it's football season, I get to, and yeah. I like watching this team just week to week and seeing which players progress and how, yep. you know, these individual players do. Quick thought on the depth chart, Nestor Silvera not starting. What do you think?
Not surprised at all.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know me, I've never been a big Nesta guy. Like, I don't dislike him, but I've never really seen what people are all hyped about, right? Like as a recruit, for sure. He was a monster in high school. But never as a Hurricane have I really been like excited about his production. I think he's had stretches where he was a very competent starting defensive tackle. I've never felt like we had a game breaker, you know? I've never felt like Nesta was going to control the game or, you know, even play at an all ACC level. As just, I don't know. I've just never been super high on Nesta.
I think part of it is because he's coming back from an injury. Yeah. You know, he didn't participate in spring camp and he was just cleared for fall camp right before it started. I think, and a lot of people, you know, go crazy over the depth chart releases, but when you look at the defense, especially like the defensive line, they're going to rotate a lot. I mean, just because Zach McLeod and Jafari Harvey are starting, that doesn't mean you're not going to see Chance Williams and DeAndre Johnson. Just because Jared Harrison Hunt and John Ford are starting, it doesn't mean you're not going to see Nesta or Jordan Miller. So I do think by week two or three, I think you'll see Nesta starting. Uh-huh. But that was a surprise to me. Okay, let me ask you, before we start wrapping up, give me your key player for the game for the Canes on Saturday on offense and defense. If the Canes want to win, which player has to have a big game? And you can't say De'Aaron King.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's, you know, that's the obvious choice, but it's like there's no other players that have a pedigree like De'Aaron King, you know? Like, there's nobody else that's gotten Heisman votes. There's nobody else that had 50 touchdowns in a year or played at that high level. You know, so even though it's the obvious choice, it's like, this is why we got De'Aaron King, right? Is for this moment. Because nobody else, I mean, he's unique on this team. Okay, but if we're not including him, shoot, dude. I don't know. I'll say Corey Flagg. I'm very worried about our defense.
Okay. What about on offense?
Will Mallory. He's a matchup nightmare. You know, like he's gonna be the guy that, like, if anybody, he's gonna be the guy that Alabama is just like, what do we do with this dude? You know?
Yeah.
He's 6 foot. Is he 6'6" or is he 6'4"? I can't remember. I think he's 6'6", isn't he?
Let's just say 6'5".
Okay. So anyways, he's tall and he's big. He's 252 pounds. And in the scrimmage, he was clocked at 21.5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, you're not putting a linebacker on him, and you're also not putting a corner on him or a safety, right? So what are you doing? You know, like, that's mm-hmm. And we all know Will's issues, right? Like, he has, like, you get what I'm saying. Like, you know, we all know that Will's had his issues with drops and inconsistency. But dude, I mean, he's that guy that if he's performing at a high level, defensive coordinators are going to be having nightmares about him. Because what do you do?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, they say that this is going to be one of Coach Saban's best defenses mm-hmm. that he's ever had at Alabama. And when you look at their linebackers, I mean, frickin' Chris Allen, Christian Harris, Will Anderson Jr., they are Sunday players. They are first-round players. I think, you know, Will Anderson's one of the best linebackers in the country. But just like you said, Will Mallory, if you use him the way he's supposed to be used, if you give him the right amount of targets, get him 8-9 catches on Saturday, he could be he will be the difference maker.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you, and also I'm going to say, who am I going to say? I'll say Charleston Rambo.
Okay.
Because if you look at Alabama's secondary, you know, they're replacing a lot of guys. Josh Jobe is back, and he's a really good cornerback. But they also got Jalen Davis, who's making his first start. And, you know, some other guys, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's going to be playing a lot. Young guys, you got to take advantage of those. And I know that they're going to be coached very well because Coach Saban, he specializes in defensive backs and cornerbacks. But you use a guy like Charleston Rambo, who's a big receiver, and – you throw to him, or I don't want to see us keep trying to run the ball and getting 1 yard or getting stopped at the line of scrimmage, and we're forced with a 3rd and 8 on every drive. That can't happen.
I agree. I think we're just asking to lose. I think that's a losing game plan. Like that's a game plan that doesn't even give you a chance to win. If we come out and try to play smash mouth football, or, you know, if we are not trying to play at light speed and, you know, just betting on the fact that, hey, when we're on offense, De'Ara King is going to be the most talented player on the field. You know, whether or not that's true, we'll see. But I feel like we kind of have to, like, we have to put our horses behind that, right? Or we have to put our money behind that idea, is that, hey, we believe that when De'Ara King has the football in his hands, he's the most talented, gifted player on the field. And it's going to show itself, right?
And on defense, I'm going to say Jared Harrison-Hunt
is
my key player on defense. I think that he is primed for a big year. I think he'll be our best defensive tackle. He showed what he could do in flashes last year. He's a very athletic defensive tackle. He can get to the quarterback. But when it comes to Alabama, it's going to be stopping the run, just like we said all episode. Yep. It's going to be up to Jared Harrison-Hunt to get through the backfield and, you know, get past the, you know, those guards in the center, pressure Bryce Young on a 3rd and 9 or something like that. And so I think he has a chance to make a big impact on Saturday. Last two questions for you. Let's give our season predictions and our game predictions.
All right. So for the season, I have the regular season. I have us going 10-2. You know, I have a loss to Alabama, and then I have a loss to North Carolina. You know, last year, I think it was a very significant improvement that we did not lose to a team that was a bad team, right? We didn't lose to anybody that we weren't supposed to, right? We kind of got this, you know, that's an old Kane thing, right? Is we'll lose one big game, we'll lose, you know, to this important opponent, and then there's another game. Even John said it. There's another game we have no business losing. That'll happen too. Like that has been a staple in the Miami Hurricanes team culture in the last 17 years. However, Manny kind of got rid of that last season, and that was huge. So I think that we stay that course. I think we take care of business where we should. I think UNC will be a toss-up. I think they win. So 10-2, probably a loss to Clemson in the ACC title game, and I'm really praying for a bowl win at that point. I think it'd be very important that we win a bowl game at that point. Do you want to do your season, or do you want me to go right into Alabama?
I'll do my season, then let's get into Bama. I have been saying 8-4 all offseason, but I have changed my mind. I'm going to say 9-3 in the regular season. I don't think we win the Coastal, but I do think we win the bowl game. So I think at the end of this year, the Canes will be 10-3, and the future is very bright for this program. I think that Manny Diaz has the right coaching staff. I think he has the right young talent. And in the past few years, I didn't think that the staff and the young players coming up weren't on the same level. But this is an incredible staff that Coach Diaz has put together. I think that I don't think we beat Alabama on Saturday, and I think UNC is a toss up. And just like John said, I think that there is one game where we drop that we necessarily shouldn't, whether it's at Pitt. At home against NC State or something like that. But I do think that my mood at the end of this year is very different from years past, where I'm pissed off and I don't want to talk about Canes football for a little bit and I just sound negative. I think I'm going to be singing a very different tune. So I can't wait for this season. Yeah, 10-3. Let's work.
Okay, so you're saying a bowl win then, 10-3.
Yes.
Okay, so you know, I'm hoping for a bowl win, and that would, well, I mean, who knows if we'll win the Coastal. I assume that we did, but, you know, at 10-2, one loss to UNC, it's very plausible that UNC, you know, they'll have a head-to-head. So very plausible that we, you know, don't even get there. But that, I don't know, man. I really think we need to only have two losses. Because so let's say we go 9-3, but we lose the bowl game. Okay, so that's 9-4. If you think so, we go 9-4 this year, we lose all the talent. You know, we kind of discussed that last episode a little bit. So if we go 9-4 and then Manny goes 7-6 next year, do you think he keeps his job?
Wait, repeat that question.
Okay, so I was saying, let's, you know, taking your 9-3.
Yeah.
Let's say we lose the bowl game, and then, you know, we lose all this talent, right? De'Arik King, half of our offensive line, all of our defensive backs, you know, wide receivers. What if we go 7-6 the next year, or 8-5?
Now
Manny survive
throwing
that?
Out these hypotheticals.
Well,
and
I was just wondering, you know, because you said like the future is bright, and I'm not here to disagree with you. I'm just asking, is 9-4 and then 7-6, does Manny survive that?
Let me circle back to that later in the year.
Okay.
Honestly, because we don't know what's going to happen after this season, but for right now, I'm saying 9-3, then with a bowl win, 10-3.
Okay.
And I will be very, very happy. Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, Alabama's a 19.5-point favorite. If I'm a betting man, I quit betting, but I gave up betting. I do think I would take Miami plus 19.5. That's not saying I'm going to, because I quit betting. New Marsh year. Score prediction. Let's hear it.
I'm going to go, shoot, 41-21, Alabama.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I know some people, you know, I've been criticized in the past where people are like, you know, it's not about being right, it's about being a fan, and I definitely respect that. Like, no shade towards that idea. For me, like for me personally, I have to temper my expectations or it just consumes me. you know, so like I always try to be realistic as possible, as pragmatic as possible in my fandom, or else it really kind of messes up, you know, my life during the season. So I'm not trying to be a hater. That's genuinely what I think it will be, is 41-21. Of course, I'm going to be cheering just as hard as anyone else, but I just have a hard time. I don't know. I don't like our run defense against this Bama team. I think it's going to be really, really difficult to watch.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm going to say 34-20 Alabama.
Okay.
I think the Canes come out hot. Not hot, but I think that we are able to move the ball somewhat in the first half, and I think that the defense plays well enough to give us a chance going into the locker room. But, you know, given Coach Saban, he's the greatest college football coach of all time. I love him. I'm a huge Coach Saban fan. He's going to make some serious adjustments. And I think that in the second half, it kind of slips away from, Coach D's and everything. And just the coaching is the difference in the second half. But I do think that we come away from Saturday with the feeling that, okay, I think things are starting to change and this season still looks very, very bright. We were able to hang around with the defending national champions for a little bit, and we're able to give ourselves a chance. I don't think we're at that level yet, and I don't want, like, I'm predicting a loss, but I'm doing it in a positive way. In an optimistic way. I think we do that. I think we show the country some stuff on Saturday, and then we go out and kick the shit out of App State the following week.
Yep. Yeah, what I'm hoping, and this is going along with my prediction, right? Because obviously I hope that we win and that we win convincingly. How I think this game will go is, I feel like we're going to have a really hard time stopping Bama. I feel like, you know, on offense, they will line up and, you know, average 5 yards a carry, something like that, you know, kind of push us around. But I do think that we'll be competitive on the other side of the ball. I feel like our offense will, you know, kind of keep us there, keep the game exciting, competitive for the most part. You know, and hopefully that does segue into, you know, in the next game, it's like, hey, Miami's offense is explosive, right? They went up against an all-time Nick Saban defense and looked very capable. But I do think our offense is going to be explosive this year. And I just want us to show up at least on that side of the ball, man. Like, yeah. If we can have a respectable showing on offense against Alabama, I'll be okay with it. Like, it'll make me hopeful for the rest of the year, right? If we can move the ball on Alabama respectably, there's no reason that we're not going to dominate everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. what do you say we do a reaction show maybe Sunday?
Yeah. I'll call you about that later.
Okay. Well, hey, it was awesome to be back. We are going to be back throughout the season. I know I've been saying that all off season, but now we are actually going to be back with regular shows every week, one to two shows each week. Big thanks to John Michaels for joining us. Yep. And let's hope that the next time we talk, we have the same positivity and it's looking up.
Well, as you know, the Orange Bowl boys last year were really good about kind of delineating the fact that Clemson was a different season, right? that our season did not involve Clemson, and I hope that's kind of the approach the coaches are taking, is that, you know, this is like, this game ultimately does not factor into how our season plays out. You know, we can lose this game and still make the college football playoff. Okay, like that is 100% true. So like we need to not worry too much about this game. We need, you know, obviously you want to win and you need to, it's important. You need to take it seriously, but like it's not everything, right? This game cannot turn into a 3-game skid after, you know, this game cannot ruin your whole season because honestly, it has no bearing on your season. That being said, like, let's go kick some teeth in, you know?
Let's go kick some ass, man. Let's play some Hurricanes football like it's meant to be played.
Yep.
Let's get it, man. I know I'm going to be freaking cheering my ass off on Saturday, and I'm going to be cocky as hell sitting around a lot of Alabama fans here in Mississippi. But I'm ready, man.
Yep.
I'm so damn ready, and I'm so happy that we are back. Fours Up is back. The Canes are back.
Yep.
Until next time, guys, we love you guys, and go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Fours Up Podcast. Remember to like and